Hey guys, before we dive into today's episode, we wanted to let you know that we unfortunately failed to turn on our proper microphones for about the first like 17 minutes of the show before we finally realized that we didn't have the shiny red button going. So right now you can hear our voices all smooth and crispy.
Yeah, we sound good right now.
Right, very warm and stuff. We apologize in advance for the kind of like lower quality audio, but we promise we do pick it up for the chunkier bit of the episode. And really, if you just are like, I can't tolerate it, and you want to jump ahead somewhere around that like 17, 18 minute mark, should land you in about the right spot to get the better overall audio. But otherwise, thank you for, dealing with that with us, and we hope you enjoy today's episode.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin, and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Ben, do you want to know something I've learned as a young 37-year-old?
What is it that you've learned as a young 37-year-old?
Is that sleep is, like, a lack of sleep is harder to recover from.
You don't say.
I do say, Ben, I do say.
I think that I have read somewhere on ye old interweb that losing just a singular lone hour of sleep can take up to 3 days to recover from.
Well, let me tell you, Ben, last week we talked about Epic Universe at length.
We did.
And the thing about going on those press trips is that they are super fun, and you get to meet lots of people and do lots of cool things. But let me tell you, they themselves, the park, whoever's bringing you there,
right,
is spending a whole lot of money to have you there.
Yes.
And they are going to make sure that they are getting their time out of you.
Your waking hours are accounted for.
Yes.
Yeah, and I mean, to their credit, like, I don't think that they are not horrifically aggressive in terms of, like, requiring what the deliverables are. And I think that the world has started to realize that the more that they allow you to just sort of, like, speak freely instead of giving, like, you know, talking points or specific details that you're supposed to hit, the more authentic it's going to be. Like, so I mean, nothing about last week's episode was in any way like crafted for us. No, you know, I mean, that was just I feel like we critiqued it where we felt like we needed to critique it, and we loved it where we loved it. And
yeah,
and that was how we described what our experience is. And I think really what it comes down to, it, that's what, you know, any end person, because people are so savvy these days. Like, you know, it's like, You know when you're being pitched at, you know, and so it's like, it's best to just let the person go in and say it. But I understand what you're saying, because yeah, you basically wake up, you know, sometimes before 6 a.m.
Yeah,
you know?
The call times were like, I think they were available to start shuttling you over at like 5:30 or something.
Right.
Which some people might have wanted to do if they needed to like edit things or get stuff back to their editors, or maybe if you were more like an online publication or something.
Sure. Or even, you know, if you're like a morning TV show type of situation, like if you want to hit like the morning news, like you might want to go and have your piece put together in time, you know, so that it's out there for people waking up and watching the news at like 7.
Exactly.
But yeah, so we were up early, and then of course you're out there, you're in the sun, you're doing like all the fun, exciting things that they have planned for you all day. They usually have some type of nighttime activity for you. And then there's also just the fact that you then get back to like the hotel, and you are literally just positively surrounded with people who outside of the thing, you know, are fascinating and interesting, and there's potential crossover, you know, opportunities and stuff like that. You know, it's like the industry gets so big, we're also spread out across the world, and yet we keep crossing paths with many of the same people.
Right. And you know, you want to like make connections and stuff, and it's fun to share your experiences with other people who've had, you know, similar experiences. And it's like, I used to notice this when we went to VidCon. It's like, VidCon is like, you know, it would be this giant big event. You go and you look at the floor, and it'd be cool. There are all these things that are happening, but like the real VidCon happens in the lobby of the hotel.
Yeah, you know? Yep. Absolutely, where everybody's just kind of like lounging, hanging, talking. You know, you're not necessarily like in full blown like content mode, but you're much more willing to just like, hey, what's up? Yeah, that's definitely a big thing. So anyway, but are you recovering from your sleep deprivation, or are you speaking more to the fact that we promptly came home from a week of minimal sleep and then decided to go camping with our families?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So we there's been a bunch of things that piled into each other. So we had the Epic Universe week where sure enough, yeah, you come back to the hotel and you're like, you know, oh, let's, you know, let's go grab a drink before we go to bed or whatever. And this is always the thing. When you go on vacation, you're like, oh, man, now I don't have the kids to deal with, so maybe I'll finally get a good night of sleep. But then you go on vacation and you're like, well, I don't have the kids to deal with. I can stay up and drink. And then you still don't get a good night. Honestly, it's not even the case at home anymore because my kids go to bed and they stay in bed for the most part. Let me go ahead and knock on some wood there because I said that out loud like an idiot. Yeah,
you were saying enough. What is thinking? Stop.
But yeah, so then we did that. Then we came home and we had I think this is just a mistake on our own scheduling where we thought every year we like book a night at the local minor league baseball team to like bring the team out and just bring friends out and, you know, we've got like a little box area and we'll get food and stuff. And it's a good time, but it's also just like exhausting as well.
Yes. So we basically flew back into Roanoke at like 9 p.m. on Thursday. We got up the next morning, we had a full slate here in the office, and then promptly left that to go to like an after work like social event with the rest of the crew, which you're exactly right, which is a lot of fun. But it also meant that like from Sunday night when we went to bed, we basically had no time that hadn't been directly accounted for going into the evening, which then, you know, ran late. And then we wake up the next morning with the intention to go camping that day.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like, okay, now we've got to get like all of our gear together, all of the prep, all of the shopping and groceries and, you know, first aid kits and all the things that we're going to need to go on this camping trip that night.
So yeah, we almost had like, I feel like we had like the ever shrinking camping trip where like when we booked it, it was going to be from like Friday to Monday.
Yes.
You know, like leave Friday after work, maybe leave early on Friday and then we'll be out there all weekend and we'll come back Monday and it'll be great. Cause it's a long weekend. And then it was like, oh, well, you know what? Actually the Friday, that's the Red Sox game. So we'll just go to that. Then the next day we'll go camping, but we'll come back on Monday. And then, like we were going to get out there at like, you know, 10 o'clock, then 12 o'clock, then 2 o'clock. And then I think everyone actually got there at 3 on Saturday. Yeah. And then it was like, you know, we get to Sunday and I'm just kind of like, well, I think, you know what? It's supposed to rain tonight. And we kind of ate most of the food we brought and the kids seem kind of tired. So, is everyone kind of feeling like packing in?
Yeah.
You know, so it went from this like 4-day camping trip to this like 24-hour camping trip, but
this is what I mean though. Like I mean, maybe if you've listened to me speak on the internet long enough, you've heard me say the phrase like "shoot for the stars, you might just hit the moon."
Yeah,
like this is what that means. Like because shooting for the stars is really aiming for the horizon, and hitting the moon's still really good.
It's still really good.
You know, it's like, but it's smaller than the stars.
It was, but that said, it was a very very fun camping trip.
No, it really was. And I feel like there's a vital piece of information as well that I feel like maybe can be like wedged into this this story experience sandwich, which, you know, if you've been listening to the pop with any regularity recently, you've no doubt heard me talk about Luke from the Outdoor Boys.
Yes.
Something that has been very near and dear to my heart in a way that I haven't truly experienced. Like as a consumer of YouTube nearly as much as like, you know, like I have such a relationship with YouTube by being someone on it, but less so as someone who watches it.
Right.
And even a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about like my early days of Super Carlin Brothers and how much I was struggling, you know, during that time and trying to get it like figured out. And a huge part of like what I was missing at that time was that I wasn't watching anything. So like I had no idea what I was even attempting to emulate,
right?
And in a lot of ways it was almost like I didn't get it. Like I didn't even know. It was like, why does anybody want to watch me talk?
Right.
You know, like this is just pure silliness. But so at long last, here being like, what, we started in 2012 and it's now 2025, so 13 years in, about coming up on our 14th year.
Coming up.
I finally found something in the past, you know, 8 months that like I've really locked into and gravitated towards, and I've watched a huge swath of his, you know, his library, and it's like it's impacted my life in a way that's been so amazing. And then kind of remarkably during that time, he's gone from like 2 million subscribers to like 15 million subscribers. Like so I was just part of what was clearly a wave of interest that was crashing over this channel, and probably why it was fed to me in the first place. But despite all of this, like, absolutely skyrocketing success that this channel was happening, a couple of weekends ago, a notification popped up on Instagram, and Alice is sitting on the couch, and she lets out this, like, huge gasp, and I'm sort of, like, looking at her, like, why? Like, what, you know, like, what could have happened that would evoke this reaction? And so she's like, you know, go to Luke's channel. And so, you know, we're sitting down on the couch, I pull up the, you know, the YouTube app,
yeah,
scroll over, and it says, like, goodbye. And I'm like, what?
No.
It
has to be clickbait.
It can't be. Right. You know, like, yeah, like, so in I think year two, year one of Super Carlin Brothers, you made a video called Ben Quit.
Yeah.
Which must be one of those that gets people, because I feel like it still pops up on, like, my own suggested thing for once in a while. But it was an April Fool's joke back then. But the, yeah, so, you know, like, we pop it open, and you know, you see him kind of, like, walking through the woods and go and sit down on a log and basically just, like, explain to his audience and the camera, you know, like, that everything has kind of become too much for him. It started to, like, impact his family. You know, he's just, like, working really long hours. It's physically exhausting. You know, he's been, you know, out, like, you know, camping with pneumonia and, like, working on stuff with, like, a, you know, sprained arm or something, you know, like,
goodness.
All these like different things, all in the name of content creation. And so it's like, it's fascinating because, like, so rarely in today's world do you see somebody who is just on such an absolute upward trajectory who's doing it, you know, like, who has cracked the code, who found the audience and the rhythm and the voice, and, like, all the things that are so hard to figure out. Step away. And, you know, so for me and Alice both, it was deeply emotional. You know, it was really, yeah, really, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, you've spent so much time watching him.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time watching him. I feel like I've learned from him, you know, both things that I just enjoy in the realm of camping, but then also just, like, sort of an outlook on life that I've really appreciated. And so, you know, like, I mean, literally, like, on vacation, it is not uncommon for Alice and I to be like, what would Luke do in this situation? Like, what would he order here?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we really, you know, taken to this person in a way that really impacts our day-to-day life. And so then on the flip side, though, as, like, a content creator myself, I know the kind of, like, very privileged burden that comes with that kind of, you know, success, I guess, if you will,
yeah,
you know, and but I also know the amount that it can wear on you, and you're subject to interpretation. You are subject to what people out there think about you and the way that you say things or the things that you believe in, or, you know, like, whatever. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that you can be critiqued on when you put yourself in that position. And I think that was something that he just was kind of like, you know, it's not worth it to me.
Not worth it to me.
I'm going to put my effort into other things and try to help some other people. And, you know, so I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of a crazy thing. But so all of that, though, is that a lot of my interest in camping or renewed interest in camping has come from watching this channel. And that brought, you know, us to this camping trip that we were going on.
Yeah.
You know, because it's something I've been talking about a lot coming into this year. I was like, man, I can't wait to get out there. Like, it's gonna be so much fun.
Even last year, I feel like you were, even before you, like, found the Outdoor Boys channel, you were sort of on, like a renewed camping interest. And, like, we, you know, you bought the tent, and I think I bought a tent, and, you know, we were, the plan was to go a bunch, and then, like, we just didn't go at all.
Well, yes, the season that we went through last year, I think, you know, kind of, like, launching into like, kind of, like, what tour life is like,
yeah,
and how it impacts our families at home, and, you know, kind of the reverberations of that. You know, it's like you come home from these things, and even though it's 10-11 days that you're gone, it's the same thing as, like, missing that hour of sleep. Like, it theoretically can end up taking a month for the rhythm to, you know, to fall back into place. Like,
yeah,
it's noticeable, and you know, everybody feels it. We've all had to, like, really put our heads together, you know, your family, my family, to figure out how to, like, make everything work.
Yes.
You know, like, how to make it all systems go, all green lights. Like, you
yes.
know, how do we work together as a group to make sure that we're making this be a positive thing for everybody. Which I think we've done a good job doing. You
I
know?
Think so.
You know,
yeah.
Hard conversations, but worthwhile ones too.
Yeah, yeah. We've worked through it all, you know.
But so all of that to me culminates in what was, you know, what we hoped would start months ago. You know, last fall has finally come to fruition.
Yes, and we finally made it on the family camping trip.
On the family camping trip, yes. So it is going to be my family. So Alice, me, and Addison, and then your family.
Yep, so me, Beth, Luke, Nick, and Nate.
And our parents.
Yes.
And the mini Winnie.
The mini Winnie, yes. The mini Winnebago.
Yes, our dad had a co-anchor who had purchased this like C-Class RV once upon a time and sold it to our parents, and they've gone on, you know, a myriad of their own adventures because they're so interesting. Mom and dad are. They just are always into something. And so they brought that out there, which was really cool. Kind of gave us like a, like within being like in this woodland environment, we also sort of had like a little bit of some amenities of
yeah, a little bit. So it was really good for the kids because it gave them like a sort of indoor space to go play in a little bit.
Yes, for sure. But then, yeah, going into the trip, I was like so jazzed because I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Like I'm going to get to like try all of the things that I've been itching.
You did. You had like a whole bag of tricks.
A whole bag of tricks.
Yep.
Oh man, it was a pure delight to see it all play out. Like I was like, this is so perfect. Like I got while we were out there, just to jump ahead a little bit. I think I got like a solid maybe 2.5 hours of sleep because it wasn't Addison's greatest and most restful evening herself
during camping. Oh yeah.
And I was on a ridiculous, like basically a ridiculously cold air mattress because we had brought one for Addison that was going to have like her little nest. She was having trouble sleeping, so she swapped places and slept in my double sleeping bag with Alice that normally I would sleep in with her. And then I was sleeping in a child's sleeping bag on the air mattress, which only covered up to like maybe halfway up my torso. And it was like 40 degrees at night and like
surprisingly cold night for the weather we've been having recently.
Yes. You know, for Addison, we had this like whole nest made to keep her warm. And then she brought the nest with her over to sleep, you know, with Alice.
Right.
And then I was left being covered in like our beach towels that we had brought in case we like hopped in the river or anything.
Right.
Which, dude, I have no idea if this is a thing about towels or not, but they have just no insulative properties whatsoever.
Nothing, huh?
I am certain
the air was just passing right through them.
Right through them. I mean, yeah. You may as well have had nothing. Like, I could not believe how ineffective they were at doing anything. But all of this to say, though, I had a terrible night's sleep. I was freezing. Just like to the point where I'm like, you know, just chattering.
Yeah.
And I woke up the next morning, and I couldn't have been happier.
Yeah.
I was like, what do we want to do now?
What's next, man?
I have 10 more activities to do.
Yeah.
So that was about the scope of how the trip went without going into any of the other major details. Like I was just absolutely loving it.
Absolutely. We have also not pressed record on the Rodecaster, which I'm just seeing right now. So prepare for... better audio?
Yeah, dang it.
Dang it.
Man, that sucks.
That does suck. Oh. Hey, we have better audio all of a sudden.
Hey, we have better audio all of a sudden. You're welcome.
There is literally nothing more devastating than looking down at the audio recorder to see that red light did not somehow get ticked on. So anyway, now you can hear us better.
Now you can hear us better, so that's good. And you know what? Now we're really going to start talking about the camping trip anyway.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So yeah, we woke up at my house on the morning of, and I still had like just a whole like list of things to like acquire for the trip. And like some of it you might expect, it's like, oh yeah, we got to get some like sandwich meats or some, you know, case of water or something like that. And other things were more like highly necessary, like sleeping bags for the kids, you know.
Yes.
An air mattress for me and Beth, which I suppose is not strictly necessary. But you know, for, I think that was, you know, Beth's comfort is important in making sure the trip ever happens again, you know?
Yes. Yes. And actually hilariously, that is like a big one that like, I felt like Luke in the Outdoor Boys was always bringing up, was that like, he would bring his kids on these like Arctic camping expeditions and stuff like that. But like, he made it a very big point that like the kids needed to be fed, they needed to be watered, they needed to be warm. Like it was all about making sure that they were having a good time so that they wanted to do it again.
Yes, exactly. So on the morning of, I'm like heading out to the old Walmart, grabbing, you know, it's like, I'm going to go see if I can't find some sleeping bags, which I did, thankfully. And when I went in, I was like, okay, so hopefully I can find like, you know, a different color for each kid. But then I got there and I was like, you know what? They only have one color for each. And then I was like, you know what? That's so much better.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, inevitably, what will happen is you'll get home and two people will decide that one color is the best. And then just someone will be left with the worst sleeping bag. But now they have the exact same one. And it's great.
It's great. Now they all have a blue
sleeping bag.
Why create hierarchy where hierarchy is not needed? Why create
it? Everyone is completely equal. And it doesn't matter which one you grab because they're all the exact same.
Exact same.
Yeah. So I went through. I was having fun picking out all my camping stuff, though, like the little snacks we were going to bring and such. Trying to zero in on different like fun drinks for the kids to get. I found some like Minecraft drink, which was just like, it was like a prebiotic soda, I think is what it was called.
Prebiotic.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, what is the name of the brand? Like Boppy or something?
I've seen this before. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So anyway, we got those for them. And sure enough, they loved them.
Nice.
Got Fresca because that's, you know, what kid doesn't love a Fresca?
Naturally.
My kids do. I'll tell you what. They sure do.
It is cute to watch them drink them because they will like literally like take the can and like they're clearly like getting to like the dregs and they will just like, they will kick those suckers like straight up in the air. I mean, it's like, wow, you guys are doing the thing.
Thing.
Yeah. You're really consuming that beverage right now.
Yes. And then I thought this was super fun because I think we could play it in my backyard too, but I found like, so when we went on the Duck in a Cup weekend, we did like Jumbo Wumbo,
Pong.
Yes. With like these giant red trash cans.
They were like 55 gallon trash cans. And then we were using, and there's actually one in the room in eyeline of me right now. They're basketballs with like rubber duck design on them. And so we were, you know, Duck in a Cup, you know, it was really fun.
Doing Duck in a Cup. And then of course, you know, more traditionally you might play some Pong with just like red solo cups, but this was like sand bucket size. Then it was called like, you know, Toss Like a Boss or something, but it's clearly just Pong.
Yeah.
But it was like 12 big red buckets. And I saw that at the store. It was like right next to sleeping bags. And I was like, oh, this is a hit right here. I'm getting this right now. Cause like you can set this up anywhere and the kids can just throw, you know, balls and buckets till the end of time, basically.
Till the end of time, yeah.
So yeah, had fun, picked it all out and, got everything packed up, had to go dig into my backpacking gear from the trip and refine my sleeping bag and my sleeping mat and remember how it all worked and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I was having a little bit of the same situations.
Yep. Yep. And had my tent, which I had ordered last year, but was still in the box. So I had to like unbox that. And then even as we got there, I'm like opening it basically for the first time at the campground and like learning how to assemble it on the fly.
Right. No pun intended. You know, because there's a rain fly on the tent. That's like the flappy part on top that keeps you all nice and warm and dry. But yeah, so I mean, but I was impressed. I mean, you got that thing together like lickety split.
Yeah, I mean, it came together. The thing about tents these days is they do come up pretty quickly. Whereas I feel like when we were kids, it took like a metric year to get things set up.
One calendar decade later. Yeah.
Man, I remember when I was in Boy Scouts, we went camping all the time. I swear, I was in the most active Boy Scout troop in the freaking country.
Troop 456.
What up? Shout out. They had this room up in the second floor of the Methodist church where we would meet. And it was just like the Boy Scout room. And it just had like shelf after shelf of these, like the same green tent. And I mean, they were heavy as sin, I swear. you'd always have to have a sleeping buddy and like one of you would carry the poles and one of you would carry everything else for the tent.
Yeah.
And that would be the way you'd break it up. But man, I swear that like the way you put those together, it was like based on resistance theory. I still remember them. They were these white cylinders and you had to like fix a V into them, and then like put a third one across the top, and that would be like the top of your tent. But it was literally like a matter of just like forcing a bow into it. Like it didn't want to bend that far, but you had to bend it that far. That's how it was intended to do. And eventually, you know, I got really good at it. But boy, before every camping trip, they'd make you go get them down and test them and practice setting them up and then putting them back in,
right,
which is probably a pretty good idea.
Yeah,
so, you know, if you're the scoutmaster, you don't have to go set up 20 tents when you get there.
Well, I mean, and I think that independence is part of what the entire experience is trying to
exactly
teach you.
It absolutely is.
Self-sufficiency.
Boy, I sure remember. I was like, I appreciate the amount of independence gained, but I still wish the tents that like were just easier to assemble.
Dude, I mean, I even remember it was the kind of thing, and I'm sure it was just a pain in the butt anyway, but like, you know, if we wanted to go camping in the backyard, it would be the type of thing where it's like, hey, can we go set up the tent? And it was like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I think now I would feel comfortable enough with my tent to where I'd be like, yeah, that's not a big deal. I can do that.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, why? Because like even then though, it's just like, it should have just been like two poles across the top making the X, you know?
You would think.
You would think that.
I think back in the day, they were like trying to get clever with it, and they were making like instead of just like your classic dome, which is sufficient. Like you don't need a tent that has like all these various like offshoot like rooms and stuff. Like that's creating unnecessary challenges.
Yeah.
You know, it's like what you need is just a big open space.
Big open space.
Yeah. Cut the number of poles down needed as much as humanly possible.
Yeah. So, I mean, mine was maybe a little more complicated. It was supposed to be like a 6-person tent, which 4 of us fit in pretty comfortably. But then I got to the end of it and mine had like all the guidelines on the side.
Yes.
They were supposed to stake down. It did not have good instructions and they did not have great like hardware for it. And I spent like, I was having that like terrible, like inner anxiety of like, man, I should be able to figure this out. And it's stupid that I can't figure out exactly how you're supposed to do this. Cause it can't be that hard. Like the whole rest of the tent was so intuitive. Why would they make this part that hard?
Right.
You know?
Right. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean because when we set up for GoFest a couple of years ago, we used like one of these tents that like a lot of people might see like a glamp going glamping now.
Yeah.
They're like these big canvas like bell tents. They've kind of got like a boho vibe to them a little
bit.
And they're really, really cool. And I remember going and setting it up in my yard just so that I could like figure out like how to do it. And you get to like the guidelines and it's like the people who strap the Christmas tree on top of your car and they know how to like run that sort of hemp rope perfectly around over and they can like cinch it so tight that it's like you could like play a guitar string on it. It's doing.
Right.
You know, and you're like, man, how do they do that? And of course, it's like, I mean, they just do it all day. So they probably just get really good at it. Like, whatever.
Yeah. They have to learn one knot. They do it 50 times. Yeah, 50 times a day. And
right.
That's it.
But so I remember the big thing was that, like, you know, I sat there and I played with it and I tinkered with it. And I was watching videos and I was like, okay. I finally got it. And like, you got it super tight and it was so satisfying. And then we got to the place to set up the tent at GoFest. And all the people came over and they're like, whoa, you can't use ground stakes. And like the ground stakes are 100% essential to the glamping tent doing what you want the glamping tent to do.
100%.
And it was sort of like, what do you mean we can't
use
the
ground tent? This is GoFest. It's camping. This is a tent. Tents have stakes. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Yes.
What do you mean?
It's like,
what do you mean?
I am confused. And you look at me like I'm the one who's, yeah. But apparently there was an irrigation system in the ground of the library and we're not allowed to punch things in there because if you punch a hole in the irrigation system, then that's like some other bigger problem. So
I can't even tell you how much I wanted to just do it and be like, just forget about it.
Well, that was exactly what I thought too. But they were everywhere. You know, they were like patrol. It was almost like their whole job was to like watch to make sure we didn't do it.
It was kind of like that. We had such an impressive looking tent. You know, it was attracting attention.
It was a tent.
Attention.
Yeah, exactly. But then, fortunately, I mean, you know, since we were in downtown, I was near Center in the Square, which is where the big aquariums are. And several years back, we were expecting a huge flood, so we had bought like a huge bunch of like sandbags, like you would use for a flood situation.
Yeah.
Like to like line the doors with and stuff. So we brought all the sandbags over and instead of having ground stakes.
You say we made Steven had to put everything on a cart and wheel it uphill from Center of the Square.
Yeah, I said we.
So we did that.
Shout out to Big Steve.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what we ended up doing was tying all of these guidelines to these sandbags,
yeah,
which I think we ended up making it work reasonably
it
well.
It worked okay.
But then it came breakdown time, and all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, I have literally, this is not hyperbole, like an actual 1 ton of sandbags that now need to go somewhere, and it's pouring rain on me, and my truck is literally like, I was holding the doors of my truck shut using like a 10-foot USB wire. Like,
I remember that. Yes.
And I was, you know, like when you get into like the back of like a vehicle, there's like the oh crap handles up top here. I literally tied the oh crap handle to a USB cord, ran the other one the other way, held the door shut using the handle and the USB cord going in both directions. So I'm driving home with both doors technically open.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know what to do with these sandbags now. And it's like, it was such an inconvenience to have to get them here. And I can't believe I couldn't use the ground stakes. So long story long, it was rather unfortunate that you were in a situation where you could use the ground stakes and it was still confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was still confusing. But ultimately I figured out that like there was maybe like two guidelines I really like maybe needed. And there was like a workaround for like the other sections.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, maybe unless you knew for sure that it was about to thunder, rain, crazy.
Storm.
But it was not going to. That was the other thing. This is the other thing when we were kids was like the rain fly felt like completely optional and like an enormous nuisance.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like, because that's the thing is that when it comes to camping, it's like you want to get out there and you want to kind of have this like thought in your head that like you're out like in the wilderness, like stars are bright above you. There's no light pollution. Like you could just go lay in your tent and look up into the vast void of the galaxy.
Yeah.
And it's like if you don't put the rain fly on, it will rain.
And if you do put it on,
it won't.
It won't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But if it happens to, and you happen to be inside of the tent while it's raining, it is the best white noise that exists on the face of the earth. And I will not be taking any questions.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that particular front. But these days, the other thing that'll happen is if you don't put the rain fly on, then the morning dew will find its way inside your tent. Then everything will be damp forever.
Right.
So that's why you got to do it anyway. Yeah. But otherwise, I remember when I was a kid, it was like, oh, putting up the tent was so much effort. Now we have to put the rain fly on too. Forget it. We'll just risk it.
Do I have to?
No, but we got it up and it was great. I was pretty impressed. Our air mattress inflated, no problem.
Yep.
Got all the kids air mats. So basically, Luke was going to sleep in the mini Winnie with mom and dad.
Right.
And then Nick and Nate were going to sleep on the some camping pads in the tent with me and Beth.
That's right. That's right. Yep. They were roughing it.
They were roughing it out there in their brand new sleeping bags.
It was pretty cute though.
It was. Yeah, it was great.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. You know what's worse than burning a whole batch of burgers and dogs during your summer cookout? Getting burnt by your old wireless bill? Oh, got him! No, but for real, the wireless bill should be the last thing holding you back this summer, especially when Mint Mobile is right there. Sorry, that's like a metaphorical right there. It's not like, you know, in your fridge or something. Actually, it's not even like down the street either, because Mint is able to offer amazing prices because there are no stores or salespeople, just smooth talking podcast hosts. Actually, I'm not that smooth. The way I convinced them to sponsor the show is because we here at The Pop use Mint Mobile. They thought that was neat, and so do I. Because all plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network, and we've personally tested it in like 17 different states while on tour and not had one issue. So this year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month, 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
Yeah, so they did awesome. And so then it came the rest of the shenanigans, which I was pretty happy about. So you guys may recall, if you listen to The Pop from a couple months ago, I took down a tree in my front yard, and it's a hardwood maple tree, which ends up making for supremely good burning wood.
Yeah.
So I had brought like a huge crate of wood to be burned. I brought this device called a kindling cracker, which, if you can imagine, is almost like an axe head that is welded into like a cast iron frame, so you can like set the log on top of the axe head, and then use like a mallet to like sort of like hammer it down, and obviously everything just sort of like pops out and splits. If you have anyone in your life who loves building like backyard campfires, mm-hmm. or has like an indoor wood burning fireplace,
yep.
and they don't have a kindling cracker, then let me tell you what, you should get them for their birthday and or Christmas, because it is the best.
It is the best, man. It was soup. I mean, I've used it before at your house, and it's like such a fun little satisfying gizmo.
It is. It yeah. is. And so like I sort of popped it out, and I was like, I'm gonna try an experiment. And so, you know, like I'm just sitting there, I've got the big thing. So I take like a few wax and like break a few boards in half, or not boards, but rather like pieces of wood in half or whatever. Yeah. And then the kids just immediately are like, "What's that?
What's that?"
And man, dude, your kids especially, like they were such like little woodland creatures. It was awesome.
They were all about the kindling cracker. I mean, and heck, just watching them do it was like half the entertainment of the afternoon.
It really was.
You know?
Because I mean, like, yeah, so you take the wood, you drop it in there, and then you're using like a weighted mallet. So I want to say it's a 3-pound mallet that I have. So it's got like, you know, sand in the head to give a little extra like gusto every time you like wail it down. But like watching these little kids, you know, it was like watching rail yard workers work because of the relative like size and weight of the materials that they were working with. But there's something like natural. Nick especially seemed to like zero in on the form and the accuracy.
Yes,
and like
he did.
The rhythm, and like you could just literally sit him like a stubborn piece of wood, and he would like hit after hit after hit. He would do it like 15 times in a row, perfect hit every time.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, like, because it's, you know, just a piece of wood sitting on a sharp thing and you're hitting it with any amount of force, like, you are making a difference every time, no matter how small.
Exactly.
Right, so, like, eventually, if you keep at it, you will crack the wood.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So, even that's kind of fun then, too, because, like, us the adults are all watching, you know, like,
yeah.
we're looking over to make sure nobody's getting hurt or smashing a finger or anywhere near, like, the sharp bits or anything, which it really isn't. It's, like, it doesn't feel like overtly dangerous to me.
Yeah, no, I don't think it was. I mean, really, there was a couple of like jammed fingers because people were holding the mallet like too close to the head. But other than that, it was, you know, it was pretty safe.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So they were doing a good job with that. But yeah, so then we just got to like witness them go through and wear themselves out too.
Absolutely, you know? Wear themselves out. But yeah, it was really funny like watching each of them like try and figure out what was the best way to hit it, because, you know, they all have like different ideas where they should hold the hammer and how they should raise it above their head. And, you know, you got to teach them like little safety things like, well, make sure your feet are apart, so if you miss, the hammer will go through your legs. And, you know, then they would listen and they, you know, they'd miss and it would go through their legs and they'd be like, see, that's why. And they'd be like, oh, that was cool.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. But then like, yeah, like I feel like Nick especially did just sort of like figure it out. He would like bring it back and like move the hammer so that the most weight was at the end and slam it down, and like had like the real, like had like the physics figured out,
he
you
did.
Know,
yeah.
of like how to get the hammer moving. And he was, I mean, like as ever, like eventually the other kids sort of like lost interest in, not him.
Not him. Yeah. I mean, yep. So at any point in time, you could almost like see Nick over there just like wailing on the wood, but Nick, Nate, Luke and Addy all successfully broke wood.
Yes, they did.
So that was really cool.
Yes, they all did. And it was fun even just watching them like take turns and crack them open. And like you brought so much wood, and I think we used it all.
We used all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like when I see like those like little things that they sell like at the grocery store or the gas station or like the corner market or whatever, like where it's like prepackaged firewood, I'm like, that is enough to me for like a 45 minute fire, you know,
right.
Like, you know, so I had this like huge container. It was probably like, I don't know, 6 to 8 bundles worth of firewood.
Right.
And we burned all of it course of, you know, one half evening and then the next morning.
Yep.
Granted, we did have 2 fire pits burning at one point.
We
time,
did.
But that's a different story that we'll get to in just a minute.
Yes, we will.
Which brings us to the food.
The food.
So one of the big things about the outdoor boys is the food is a big part of the experience.
Yes.
Like making sure that when you're out there, you're not just like, you know, eating freeze dried stuff or a stick of beef jerky, which, you know, not to hate on beef jerky, but it's good stuff.
Yeah, I know. I do love, you know, beef jerky.
Protein bars, water, you know, like those types of things. Like you want to have something like fun, especially for like a family camping experience. So this actually ended up working out super well, but one of the things I wanted to make was corn dogs. And so the corn dog recipe is basically like your combination of like flour, cornmeal, baking powder, salt, pepper, sugar, you know, like the like a normal type of like batter, egg, milk, that type of thing. And I had like a cup with all the dry ingredients in there, and then I brought like the wet ingredients. And so then what you could do is like add the other things, put a screw cap on the container, give it a good, you know,
give it a good shake,
like a good blender bottle shake, yeah. like your protein powder. And there, boom, bam, you got your batter for dipping. Then I had, you know, like the sticks, you know, like just basically skewers.
Yeah, skewers.
Drop a hot dog on those bad boys, dip them in there. And then, dad had actually just like the day before purchased from one of his buddies, like a camp stove that had like a particularly tall, like pot that sat on top of it. The brand is called Jet Boil. But we put peanut oil inside of there, and we brought that up to temperature. I had like a little infrared,
a little gun
for checking the temperature of the oil. So we were able to like, you know, kind of regulate some of the details or whatever.
Let me tell you what, if you ever want to pull out like a fun party trick, just bring one of those guns to like dinner one night and pull it out and just start checking the temperature of stuff. And I know that sounds so dumb and boring, but I promise you, you will be the hit of that dinner.
You absolutely will. Yeah. It's like, how cold is our drink?
How cold is our drink right now?
Let's check. How about we pull out an ice cube? Let's check that one. Yeah. How cold is the ice?
It's 32 degrees. Oh my God. Who knew?
It really is. It is so much fun. I actually ordered a second one after we got home because I have one. I actually used the one that I have at home all the time.
For
a myriad of different things. And then I want one just specifically for camping. So do stuff like
just
this.
Keep it in the camping box. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have like our deep fryer, our makeshift deep fryer set up. And then we set like a perimeter that was like kids not allowed within 10 feet of this situation.
Yeah.
Because, okay, one of the things that I think really like, you know, ignited it in my brain, because I know the basic science, like I passed the tests in high school, but the boiling point of water, H2O, is 212 degrees. So it's like water cannot be hotter than 212 degrees.
Right.
And you know how bad it would hurt to have boiling water spill onto yourself. Like it alone can cause severe burns.
Right.
But anything above 212, it just turns into steam and basically just evaporates away. So then by comparison, we are dealing with peanut oil that we had, you know, raised to 400, 425 degrees. So you're talking about like oil that is twice as hot as boiling water.
Right.
And I feel like that contextualizes it in a way that makes sense to me, that like when I was taking my science tests in eighth grade or whatever, like, it didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
You know, like water can only be so hot.
Yeah. I don't think anyone ever said that sentence. It was like the boiling point of water is 212 degrees. And it's like, so what, like, but like, it doesn't sound like that's the upper limit of water.
Right.
You know, but it's like, I feel like they need to put that sentence, like, meaning that's as hot as water can be before steam.
Before steam and otherwise non-modified, which is to say, like, no salt or any other, you know, mineral has been added to it that may otherwise impact.
Yeah, adjust its, boiling point.
Exactly. Yeah. And then elevation also matters because depending on where you are in the world, sometimes the boiling point's different. So anyway, those things don't matter. But so then, yeah, you know, we take it, and of course, you know, I've never done this before, so I have no idea if it's going to work. And like, I've watched the videos and I'm sort of like, oh, it makes it look so easy. So we, you know, we drop the battered up hot dog into the thing. And I mean, like, what came out was a perfect hot dog,
perfect
corn dog, rather.
Perfect corn dog.
Yeah. I was so happy.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we put together, I was videoing it, and we put together like a little reel. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can probably just like watch it happening right now, but we'll also post it on the Popcorn Culture YouTube channel
as well.
You can watch Ben make his camping corn dogs.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It was so much fun, and I was super delighted, and the kids went ham with it. I think this was Nate's moment to shine. Did Nate have three corn dogs?
No, that was Nick too.
That was also Nick.
Nick.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Nick's favorite food is corn dogs.
Okay. Well, I mean,
for sure.
Yeah, they're great.
They're great. Yes. Yeah, we'll have a box of them, like just frozen corn dogs at the house. And sometimes it's like, you know, what do you guys want for breakfast? And I'll be like, corn dog. And I'm like, That's not the worst thing.
You know, well, there's some protein.
You know
there.
What? Yeah. It's proteins, carbs. You're gonna be fine. It's right, good. Right.
It's all fine. It's all fine. Yep. So that was really fun. We did that, and then we proceeded to like. But, well, that was the other thing too. Is I was kind of like, we'll make the corn dogs. I'll bring them. Largely for the kids.
Yeah.
But then we all sort of ate them because we're all having so much fun.
Everyone wanted to try one. It was like, wait a second. I want a corn dog.
Right. Look, it worked.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever had a fresh homemade corn dog in my life, you know?
No. Yeah. I mean, maybe like the ones that homemade, probably the wrong word, but fresh at Disneyland.
Like fresh at Disneyland or something. Yeah. Like most corn dogs I've ever had have just been like from freezer. You know, boxes.
Exactly. Which, by the way, if you're ever at Disneyland, the corn dogs totally hit.
Absolutely get them at Disneyland.
Yeah, those are amazing.
Yeah.
What I really want to do next time is get bigger hot dogs to use it with, because I was just using, like, Nathan's hot dogs. So I'd like to get something, like, beefier and, like, you know, really go for it. So, that's going in the repertoire forever because I loved it. Then we just made burgers.
We made burgers, but Ben, so we had two fire pits going because we had like the regular fire pit that we were all just sitting around, and then you brought your solo stove and created a second fire. And then on top of the solo stove, you had a whole second contraption where you could like have a wok that was like elevated above the fire.
A cast iron wok.
Yeah.
Yes. So a wok traditionally used for making like a lot of like Asian dishes.
Yeah.
Kind of like a big bowl. But I've always liked a wok because it kind of keeps everything like kind of moving towards like the center. So you don't have like the grease sort of like spilling over the edges or going anywhere weird. I was having a lot of fun cooking on that.
Yep.
And so we just made like a round of burgers and everything, burgers with cheese.
Yep. And green beans.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thought it all turned out pretty good. And then what else did we do from there?
You did the, bread bag.
The bread
or the bag,
bag bread, I suppose. Bag bread, yeah.
Bag bread,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the next party trick.
Here we go. Here we go.
Well. Oh man. I prepared it at home before I left. But you can take flour, salt, pinch of sugar, and activated yeast, which usually you would keep like in your fridge. And mix it all together in the bag, and you've got like your dry ingredients. And then before you go to bed at night, you take your water and you mix it into the bag and you give it a big, like, you know, shake up and everything.
Give it some kneading.
Yep. And then you just like, you know, and so we got to do this like with the kids and like lay it out and sort of like, okay, like in the morning, this is going to like expand and it's going to get like really big. So then just overnight, you let the bread in the gallon Ziploc bag do its thing.
Yep.
And, you know, sure enough, the next morning, for one, it made me very happy that the kids were all like, where's the bread? I want to see the bread. Can we do the bread now?
Yeah.
And I was like, you betcha.
You betcha we can do the bread.
Yep. So went into that. And then I had also gotten like a shovel from just my actual subscription to Bespoke Post.
Ah.
So one of the other things that Luke does is he oftentimes cooks his bread on his shovel. Like he uses that like as his like cooking surface.
Yeah.
And so I set the shovel like over there in the coals and, you know, I dabbed a little bit of butter on it and then like laid my flatbread down and I made shovel bread.
Yeah. We made the first piece of bread on the shovel.
Proof of concept. I would say it was the least good bread that we made. It was a little doughy on the inside. But then back to the wok. Yeah, where now, you know, we had like much more controlled heat. Everything was good. We let those suckers go. And then we put like, we had like local honey from an apiary that came to Addison's preschool and butter just like smeared over top. And like, man, if I wouldn't take that over a pancake, I tell you what, it was good.
It was good. It was really good. And then you still had like another half bag of you know dough left.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And we had the
A Dutch oven.
What'd you use the Dutch oven for the first night?
I was gonna use the Dutch oven to make popcorn.
Oh yeah, right. Like, I can't believe we didn't do that.
Well, you know, I also brought a projector and everything, so it looked like watch a movie.
Oh, we're gonna do like Yeah,
but we still need a good way to bring the media out there with us because there was positively no cell service whatsoever.
Yeah, it wasn't gonna happen. Yeah, so, but it was okay. We ended up not needing to do that. Everyone had plenty of fun anyway.
Yes.
So yeah, we did do the popcorn, but then you had the Dutch oven, so we just put the rest of the bread in there, and then found another hot patch of coals over on the main fire,
right,
and just set the Dutch oven in there for like 40 minutes, and I would say it got a little crispy on the bottom, like half of it, you know.
Yep. That's been a fun experiment even as we got home, because we had like a really like aggressively like burned spot from where like the coals were just like a bit too hot and like the dough sort of burned down to it, and we got home, and so it's like it's been like a fun challenge for Alice and I to get like the pot back to like perfectly like clean.
Oh.
Which we have done.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How did you accomplish that? You mean the inside or the outside?
The inside.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The outside has like some char marks and stuff like that, but like that adds character.
It does add character. Yeah. It's like, this has been used.
No shame whatsoever in that game.
Exactly.
But yeah, so we basically just brought water to a boil, dumped in a bunch of baking soda, and then we used a wooden spoon to scrape the interior surface of it. And I mean, it just came all right out. I mean, that thing is squeaky clean.
Squeaky clean.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks great. So yeah, we made ourselves a little loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Oh man. I was having so much fun.
Yeah.
Like I could have just sat there and like continued to tinker basically forever.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of fun. You had these like giant fire tongs as well, also from Bespoke Post. Yes. Which were like super handy.
Yes.
Like, I mean, they were just like basically giant scissors that were just tongs at one end, but you could like, you know, be standing up entirely and just interacting with the logs and the fire. And it allowed us to like, you know, just rearrange everything. You know, every time like the logs fall over, you could just like pick them up and make another little cabin out of what was left. And then like all of a sudden, you know, it would just erupt back into greatness.
We were having a great burn.
Yeah. Great burn. You had this like giant, like, I don't know what to call it. Like pipe, not pipe. I guess maybe it, like an elongated, not bellows, but.
Yeah, it's I mean, you're right. It's almost like if you can imagine like a blowgun, like, but it's not meant to shoot darts. It's just meant to blow the air. Like you can like stand up at like full height and then like get down in the coals with it and just like blow air through the tube and really directly add oxygen.
Yeah.
Exactly to where you need it to be in the fire, which does a really great job of like stoking the fire. Cause otherwise most of the time you're getting your head like 3 inches away and you're like,
yeah. Although, man, I tell you what, one of my favorite things in the world is when you just blow on a fire and it just goes and like gets huge.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it feels like a superpower when you do it.
Yes. There's a scene in the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks where he's like out there and he's been like doing the thing, trying to like, you know, you make a friction fire for like a long period of time. And then he finally gets it going. He's just heaping like logs and sticks and all sorts of stuff onto it. And he's like, "I have made fire."
Yeah.
And that is what it feels like every time.
Yes. Yeah. We had a weird moment when we were all just sitting around the fire and like something must have just, I don't know. Something must have happened, but all of a sudden the fire just goes and just completely like the bright flames that were burning just like went out.
Yes.
Entirely. It was like someone turned the lights off, you know? It was like, what just happened?
It just went to simmering coals.
What's happening here? And then it seriously, everything went dark. It was like, can't believe how much light was coming from that. And yeah, I just like gave it like a good deep breath. And all of a sudden it just like literally like, it was like flipping a switch.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And like came right back out. I was like, that was so cool. Which it's like, I don't know why it's that crazy. Like, you know, I think what's funny is if you've ever been camping or around a fire with someone who is not familiar with like, you know, fires need oxygen or whatever. And you like do that. And it's like, what are you doing? Why are you blowing on? And it's like, watch this.
Watch this.
Yeah. I can control this fire with my breath.
Yeah, right. Yes. Oh, man. It was just delightful, though. I mean, like, I feel like the kids had such a positive experience with mom and dad. You know, they're all just like running around like barefoot. Just like exactly what you want to see out of your kids.
Yes.
Just like playing in nature a little bit.
Yeah, the barefootedness. Okay, so we should also talk about the clothespin game.
Oh, yes. Is this something they learned at school? Because I was just brought into this like...
I don't know. I think Luke was just making it up on the fly.
Okay. Well, it was great.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So mom came out of the Mini Winnie and like somehow, some way, just a clothespin was stuck on the front of her shirt.
Okay.
And like Luke pointed it out and I guess he just thought it was funny that it was there. So all four kids had a single clothespin that they decided to form an entire game around and had, I think, more fun than any four kids have ever had with one clothespin.
Right.
Before.
That might just be fully accurate.
I know. Like you wouldn't even think of it as a toy. But so what they would do, they would be, all four of them would be in the Mini Winnie, which they were calling Club Mini Winnie.
Yeah.
And one of them would be their turn to try and go clothespin somebody. And what that meant was they had to come out and sneak around behind the grown-ups and try and attach the clothespin to their shirt without anybody noticing.
Yes.
And like, I think I clued into what they were doing pretty quickly, but like not everyone clued in right away. And it was so funny to watch them like try and sneak behind somebody and like get close enough to put the clothespin on them and then like succeed in doing it.
Yes. And yes. It was so good.
So once they did it, that person would run back to the Mini Winnie. It would be somebody else's turn to come back and try and retrieve the clothespin without them noticing.
Yes.
And oh my gosh, it was so funny because eventually everyone sort of like caught on. It was like, okay, just like pretend you don't see them doing it. Let them have their fun or whatever.
Right.
But you could pretend you didn't see it. But then every now and then they would just genuinely get somebody.
Yes. And at that point in time, it was like all of us knew exactly what was going on, and it was like we knew a little bit that like we sort of knew the game was happening. It was like they got you for real that time.
At I think Alice in particular was like really like she was like hard mode.
Okay.
You know,
yeah,
she's like,
yeah,
you know, like, oh, I'm not just gonna let you get me. I'm not gonna pretend. I'm not gonna go along with this.
Right.
Yeah. Like so if they came up like behind her and she noticed, she would like turn around and be like,
I'm not getting clothespinned.
I'm not getting clothespinned. But then at one point Luke totally got and you were like, he got you. And she's like, what? No. And she turned around. She's like, oh, like she had totally been got. That was so funny.
In your face on Alice.
In your face. I was like, oh man, Luke went for expert mode and got it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So like all in all, the whole trip, some sleep deprivation aside, did you feel like you had enough fun that you'd like want to do more of this kind of thing?
Yeah, I would definitely go again. I think it was fun. The kids had a blast. Like the night we went, it was fairly cold. And like the only time I've used that sleeping bag has been when we were on the Linville Gorge hike
for the GMA
for GoFest. So like I gotten it back out and I was just, I honestly couldn't have even told you what color it was, which is silly.
What color is it?
It's orange and red.
Oh man. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice. It was pretty good. But like I got into it and I was like, I know it's a good sleeping bag, and I got into it and it's like, I forgot like how tight it was. Like anytime I tried to roll over, like I would have the problem that like the inside of the sleeping bag would like roll with me, but the outside would not, you know?
Oh yes. Yes.
So
yes.
Then I would get like twisted inside it and be like, and then I have to like try and like, okay, I got to like create some slack by like, you know, upending one half of it and trying to like move around, but then you're like on the air mattress and it's making all those swishy sounds and you're like bouncing the other person.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I mean, I sleep in like a K shape, you know, so I'm sort of like arm, leg, like out.
One of the worst letters.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just incidentally, gosh, if you didn't catch last week's After the Final Pop, it was maybe when we ranked all the letters of the alphabet. It was premium stuff.
It was. It got a little unhinged.
It did. Patreon.com/popcornculture. But anyway, I'm the same way. Yeah. So I sleep in like a K shape, and I was sleeping in Addison's sleeping bag, which is a kid's sleeping bag.
Yeah.
And so I kept trying to like spread my legs out, and it was like, whoop.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I couldn't go more than like 4 inches from knee to knee.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's not good.
No, it was just too tight.
Yeah, so I did end up getting some sleep. And there was at one point, like, I think both, like, Nick and Nate both woke up at different points in the night needing water to go pee or something like that. And I remember at one point, I checked my clock and it was, like, 2 a.m. and I was like, oh, there's no way I'm going to fall back asleep. And I was just laying there for what felt like forever. And then suddenly it was, like, 6 o'clock and I was like, oh, man, okay, I did fall asleep.
Yes, I know.
Which is good, but, man, it didn't feel like it was going to happen.
Right.
You're like, it's cold and I'm uncomfortable. And, yeah, I think, I really didn't remember the sleeping bag being like that. And now I'm wondering, like, because the tent I got was like one of those like one man tents.
Okay.
And I remember it being like, you know, pretty tight for me in there. And I was like, maybe I was associating like any amount of tightness just with the tent itself.
Uh-huh.
And now I was in a big tent with a tight sleeping bag. So I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe it was just the coldness or who knows. But
yeah, there's two like major types of sleeping bags. There's like the like your classic rectangle, and then there's like what they call like the mummy bag.
Yeah.
And the mummy bag is sort of like the one that like is kind of like a torpedo shape, and you crawl in through the hole, and like you can like literally like cinch it up around your face. So if you're like a back sleeper who doesn't move a lot, it's like totally perfect.
Yeah.
But if you're just about any other sleeper, it's probably like gonna be a little bit cumbersome.
Yeah. Well, the problem is because of exactly what I was doing. Yeah. It's like it was a mummy bag, and so there's a clear backside to the sleeping bag.
Right.
And if you could just like spin around inside the sleeping bag, like it wouldn't be a problem. Like, you know, who cares if you're the hood is over the back of your head or the side of your head or whatever.
Sure.
But if you twist, the bag twists.
Yeah.
It doesn't want to like roll with you. It's like, it's not connected exactly appropriately.
Bit of an art form.
Takes some getting used to. And when you're trying to figure it out at, you know, 4 a.m. and it's freezing and you're trying not to make any sounds, and you're just exhausted and can't see, it's, you know, that's not the time.
Yeah, it's not the time. That's not it.
Yeah.
Well, I would tell you what, though, the big thing for me, I think in like the early days of the pop, I used to talk a lot about like my inability to like be alone, to do things alone. And I think my big quest here at some point in this year is I'm going to try to do a solo camping trip.
Oh, solo camping trip.
Yeah. Like a solo, probably a solo backpacking trip. So there's like an actual like mission that I'm not just like out there just like sitting by myself like next to a fire,
right?
But yeah, I think that this is gonna be like sometime I might wait until like the fall to like give it a proper go, so okay. Like the, you know, that way I'm not like in the heat of the summer trying to do it or anything. But yeah, I think that's gonna be
just be out there completely by yourself.
That sounds like an
interesting like spiritual kind of journey.
I think it could be. I think that's sort of like what I'm a little bit after, because I remember kind of feeling that way when I went to get my tattoo, my first one in New York City, and it was kind of like, okay, I'm in the city by myself doing something that kind of scares me. But like, you know, so then like at night, like I would go and I was at like the restaurant eating dinner by myself. And you know, like you're trying to make like casual conversation with the people around you. But then you're also vaguely aware of the fact that like they're there to spend time with their friends, not this random person who's sitting solo.
I suppose. But, you know, it's New York City, you know.
You never know.
You never know. Lots of strangers meeting people all the time.
Right. But I think because there was like social life happening around me and I was actively torn as to whether or not like engage, it was almost like I enjoyed the experience. I thought it was very important and I thought it was all like very good for like that saga of like getting the tattoo and doing it. But like the compulsion to be communicating with people and then not communicating with people was challenging for me.
Right.
And so I feel like it'll be very interesting to go and find yourself in a situation where you're just like, you're just alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's no one there and you're just trying to see like, where do your thoughts go? Like, what do you think about? Like, what do you prioritize? Are you like more careful on your feet? Are you more specific about like water? Do you eat faster? Do you eat slower? Like, you know, do you go to bed early? Do you stay up late? Do you listen to a book? Do you sit in silence? Like,
right. Yeah. Would you bring like technology with you at all?
I think I would bring like something, because I feel like especially just like walking in silence, I'm like that might be too much.
You gotta walk in silence.
Yeah, you just gotta like take in
absolutely take in nature noise.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, don't ruin it with like headphones or something.
All right. That's good input. I'll take that under advisement. Sure. I'll keep you guys posted on that. That'll be sometime this year. You know, the big solo adventure.
The big solo adventure.
Otherwise, if you ever want to go, you know, backpacking with me or just camping in general with the family, stuff, I'm definitely down.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, I think that brings us to the end of today's episode of the pod.
I think so. Sorry, the first portion of it there was a little lower audio quality. We were just using our camera mic for that as opposed to our lovely microphones here.
I know. Yeah, here we are speaking into like these big fancy microphones and you're hearing us from like 6 feet away through like this tiny little built-in camera microphone. So not what you want to hear. Anyway, thank you guys for tolerating that. Again, if you want to send any feedback for the show, you can do so at popcornculturepod@gmail.com, or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. Link to that in the description down below. But otherwise, until next time,
pop pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.